As we mentioned every Sunday morning at the beginning of the lesson, we are thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here, that you have taken this time to come and to be with us as we study a portion of God's Word. We're thankful for the presence of those that might be visitors. We hope that you will stick around after the lesson this morning and after we dismiss so that we might get to meet you and get to know you just a little bit better. We hope that you want you to know that you are our honored guest, and if there's any questions or comments that you have to make concerning the way we worship God, then we would like to hear that from you, whether good or whether bad, because what we want to do is to be pleasing in the sight of God. That is why we are here this morning. That is why we study the Word of God. We study His will for us so that we might know how to please Him. I did forget to mention to Brother Blackaby that Joanne is out of town also. She will be back in tonight. She is out of town visiting in Texas, and she told me that it's hot and humid there, and there's a lot of mosquitoes, and so let you appreciate this place around here a little bit. She'll be back tonight, and hopefully our house will be settled down just a little bit. You learn to appreciate people, I think, especially husbands and wives when they're away from you for a while. For the time that we have together this morning, I'd like for us to look at a passage in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, where the Proverbist talks there about the way of the transgressor, that it is something that is hard, that it is difficult. Most people in the world today, including most of us who are children of God, have the concept that the Christian's way of life is the most difficult that there is. That pathway of righteousness that God has established for those that will be faithful to Him is the hardest pathway that a person can choose to walk. And indeed, we find that the way of salvation is described by Christ in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14 as being a way that is straight and a way that is narrow. And few are going to travel in that way. The way that leads unto destruction is a way that is broad, and there are many who are going to travel that way. But the one that leads to heaven is a path that is difficult. That's what the word straight means. And there are going to be few that are going to be traveling in that way. Because in this way of righteousness, we're well aware of the fact that from time to time, persecutions are going to arise. We are going to have sufferings that we are going to face on this road that is going to lead us into eternal life. We're going to be called upon by God and the Word of God to refuse participation in certain things that we see our worldly friends engaging in. That we cannot produce the fruits or the works of the flesh in our life. There's a list there in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19, 20, and 21 of the works of the flesh that we're not to produce in our life. And we know that we're going to have to stay away from those. And we look to the world and we find those that are engaging in those seeming like they're having a good time and a lot of pleasure being brought to them. But yet if we're going to be faithful to God, we recognize we've got to stay away from those things. But from Christ Himself, we have the assurance in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30 that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. That the commandments that He has given unto us and the way of life that He would have us to walk is something that is relatively easy. The commands are not hard for us. And in essence, what He's trying to say is that it is in the best interest of man that it brings about the greatest fulfillment of man to walk in this pathway of righteousness. I'm afraid that a lot of us as Christians sometimes get into trouble when we think that this way is the hardest that there is, that there's nothing but sufferings ahead for us, hardships that we are going to face. And then when we look at others in the world enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, sometimes we might begin to envy them. You know, this is something that I did, I believe, as a teenager, more than I like to admit from time to time. That I would look at my friends who were in the world, those that I went to school with, and I saw the things that they got to engage in, the things that they did, that they went to dances, and they went to parties, and they went to one place and the other, that I knew that if I was going to maintain my purity as a child of God, I could not do that. And I began to envy them just a little bit. This was before I discovered what Solomon had to say there in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 1, where he said, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them." Or in Proverbs 23 and verse 17, "Do not let your heart envy sinners." When I discovered these passages a little bit later, after I was a teenager, I thought, you know, where have these passages been all of my life? Why didn't I discover them before then? Because I did look at others and the things that they were doing, and there seemed to be no harm coming to them, and they were enjoying things that I could not enjoy. Solomon, it gives us these instructions. And when we begin to enjoy or begin to envy the joys of those things that sinners participate in, I'm afraid if we allow this envy to get the best of us, before too long we're going to be engaging in those things ourselves. We will begin to justify in our own mind that we should not be robbed of these pleasures, that God would even want to enjoy us or want us to enjoy this way of life. Rather than the way of the righteous being one that is so difficult, I think we find God saying to us, as we read here, that the way of the transgressor is a way that is hard. The sinner's life, while he or she is on the earth, is more difficult than the one who seeks to do the will of God, and the one who is content to live by that will which has been given unto man. It seems that once again we get everything upside down in our human reasoning, because we think as long as we have all kinds of freedoms, that as long as we don't have any restraints being placed upon us, then that's the good life. That's the life of ease and indulging in all of our desires that we want to, doing whatever we want to do. That seems to be the life that is enjoyable and the life that is easy. But the Word of God declares unto us the truth, that it is that way that becomes hard. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to discover what the Scriptures teach about the path that we choose to walk. And we're all well aware of the fact that there are two ways that we can walk. That we can follow that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven, or we can decide for ourselves what we are going to do. We're going to follow our own course. We're going to do what we want to do. And it is that course that is broad, and many are going to travel that way. But one leads to heaven, and the other leads to eternal destruction. What does the Scripture have to say concerning the path that we choose to follow? One of the things that we note from the very beginning is that obedience unto the will of God is the best for man. It is absolutely the best for man, not only in view of eternity, of looking towards spending eternity with God, but I am convinced that it is best for man in the physical life that he lives. That this is best for man. Now, it is best for man, as we know, and we will readily admit this, when we're thinking about eternity, when we are looking toward that home in heaven when this life is over, we recognize obedience as being the best, that we have to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Because the word that comes to us through Jesus Christ and through the apostles tells us that there is absolutely no hope given to that individual who refuses the message of salvation, this that comes from the throne of grace in heaven. If we refuse that, then we have no hope of salvation. And so many people begin to think that, well, it's best for us to be obedient unto God in view of eternity and in view of eternity alone. Some have come to believe this. They believe that obedience is best only in view of eternity. Some individuals think that God's commands are given so that they will hinder man from enjoying the physical life that he has given. And again, a lot of times we as Christians begin to think that way. That God doesn't want us to enjoy this physical life, and therefore he's placed restraints upon us. He's given us commands that we can't do this, we can't do that, and we begin to view Christianity as a list of don'ts. they look at that way concerning the life in Jesus Christ. And that the only reason he restricts man is in view of eternity, in view of that home with him when this life is over. I believe this is a false conclusion. And I believe that it needs to be changed among those that are children of God. I believe it must be before we can be rightly directed and truly directed by the Word of God. Because the individual that has this kind of concept, that God restricts us only in view of eternal life, they will begin to justify many of the sins that they're going to engage in. They will change their attitude toward God and toward the laws of God. Because they will begin to reason within themselves, well, God wants me to enjoy this life. He wants me to have a good time, basically, while I am here. And I can't have a good time, I can't enjoy that, if he restricts me in some way. And all he wants me to do is obey him so that I'll have eternal life. And so they will begin to reason in their mind that this is what God wants me to do only in view of eternity. But again, I am convinced that obedience is best for man, not only in view of eternity, but for the life that we have here. God has given unto us commands. And in the old law, we find that these commandments were for the good of man. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24, we find in the law of Moses, it says there, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive." The commandments that God gave unto the children of Israel was for their good, always. Not just something that was in view of eternity, in view of the time when Christ would come and be the ultimate sacrifice. But the commandments that God gave to the children of Israel were good for them in their life, to conduct their life in a way that was pleasing unto God, in the sight of God, and was for the best for man. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we find there, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today, for your good." Again, I am thoroughly convinced that the law that God has given unto man is good for him in this life, in this physical life that he has, to guard him from those things that would be disruptive, to guard him from those things that would be harmful for him physically as well as spiritually. Now, if this is true with the law of Moses, as we've just read, what more would it be also concerning the law of Christ, which is based on better promises, which is a better covenant, which has a greater hope than that, which is found under the law of Moses? The person whose life is directed by the will of God, I again, once again, believe that that person's life is protected. It is something that God is going to watch over. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that no evil or that no harm is going to come to that individual. We are well aware of that fact. Solomon became well aware of that fact as he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes concerning those that do good, that he has seen things happen to them. But in general, God is going to protect that individual that does his will. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul." That person preserves his soul and his life. And God is going to protect that individual. While those who disobey his will, we find in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36, "He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." This is what God has said concerning those that would turn away from his will. That they hate their soul, they hate their life, that things are going to come upon them because of that disobedience. Sin also has its consequences. And we are well aware of this fact. that sin has consequences. And this is something that we learn in the path that we choose to walk. Sin has consequences. Sin not only has long-term and eternal consequences, but there are temporal consequences as well. In the book of Proverbs, we have several passages that are listed here that we want to go over that lets us and shows unto us that sin has its consequences. In Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 3 and also in verse 5, we find the proverb is saying there, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. It will destroy this individual who wants to live a perverse life, those who are unfaithful to the will of God, that it not only brings long-term effects, but it brings short-term effects also. In verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. In the 13th chapter and verse 13, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. In 15 and verse 32, we find once again the wise man making this remark. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds reproof gets understanding. There are other passages in the book of Proverbs that we're going to mention in just a few moments. And all of these things bear out what we're saying here. There in the 11th chapter, verse 17. The merciful man does good to his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Here we have it, simply stated. That individual that is merciful is good to himself. That person who is cruel, he is going to bring trouble to his life. To his own flesh, there is going to be trouble. In the 11th chapter, verse 31, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? In the 22nd chapter there, Proverbs, in verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. These are passages of Scripture, again, that point out to us these laws, these eternal laws that God has set in motion concerning those that do good and those that do evil. In Proverbs chapter 1, and turn with me there, beginning in verse 25 down through verse 31, we want to read what God has to say concerning that individual who turns away his ear from hearing the law of God. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Here's what God is saying to those individuals that turn from listening to him. Solomon here instructs these individuals of the circumstances that is going to come upon them because they avoided or they turned away from living godly lives. They turned to doing those things that were wrong, and what God was going to do when they begin to call upon his name. All of these things were going to come upon them. They were going to have to suffer for the sins that they had committed. This is something that the Word of God tells us concerning this pathway that we choose. That obedience is something that is the best for us, and that sin has its consequences. Sin has consequences not only in view of eternity, but also in this life that we live. The consequences of sin sometimes depend upon the circumstances surrounding those sins also. For example, we can see in our world today that those who break civil law those who sin in this way are going to have punishment rendered unto them. We look at our justice system today and we sometimes scratch our head to say if that is true, as we see those who are committing wrongs getting away and those that are doing that which is right being punished. But in God's establishment of government, this is what He wanted. He wanted those who do those things that were wrong to be punished. And when an individual violates the law, there is a punishment that is set for them. And the government is obligated to fulfill that punishment upon the evildoer. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, we find Paul writing to the saints there in the city of Rome. We want to know that it was in the heart of this evil and wicked government that Paul made mention, for he is God's minister. He's talking about the government. He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. Why? For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Again, we are well aware of the fact that the individual who breaks law, that individual who sins in that way, there's going to be consequences due to that sin. Sin brings those consequences, and this is the way that God has established it. There are consequences according to the circumstances, in the sense that some sins can cause an individual's life to be shortened. It will be a direct result of the sin that has been committed. In Proverbs 10 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. This is God's promise concerning this. Again, we want to emphasize, we've seen those that are evil live long periods of time. But this is a general rule that God has established. With certain types of sin, the consequences are their life is going to be shortened. There are numerous ways that this can happen. Sometimes we see those that commit murder or capital offenses, their life is taken away from them because of that sin. We can see others who will sin, not according to the man's law, but according to God's law, and their life will be shortened. Because of immorality, we see that diseases abound because of that. And those who engage in that, oftentimes have those diseases, have their lives shortened. We see those who engage in drink, social drinking and drunkards, those individuals also having to endure the consequences for the sins that they commit. And oftentimes it brings about a shortening of their days in this physical life. Consequences depend upon the circumstances. And we have to realize that in deciding which path we're going to follow. If we're going to follow and be obedient unto God, He's made a certain promise. But if we're going to choose our own way and we're going to sin, then we've got to realize that these consequences follow the sins that we commit. We find also that it enslaves us sometimes to habits. These are accompanied by habits which take us captive. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, his own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. This often happens to us. When we sin, when we deceive, when we are dishonest, these are the kinds of things that are going to follow us. When we engage in some sins that become habit, they enslave us. This is the consequences of the path that we choose to take. Obedience is good for man. But that path that leads to eternal destruction, the pathway of sin, sometimes the consequences will be that they enslave us. Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, while they promise liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. That's what he's talking about here. being brought into bondage into sin. Sin slowly enslaves a person, where there is greater and greater difficulty for that individual to escape it. We have to realize that when an individual chooses a life of sin, that that person is bringing upon themselves the consequences of that life of sin. They are bringing that upon their own head. We're not going to escape that. God has established that as being a law. He is not going to be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And if we sow sin, we're going to reap the consequences of sin. If we sow obedience and choose that pathway to follow, then it's best for us, not only in this life, but certainly in the one that is to come. We see an example of sin's consequences recorded for us in Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 through 32. There, the story of the prodigal son, of the wasteful son. The son was there in his father's home, had everything that he needed, had every blessing that his father could bestow upon him. But the son made a decision that he was going to take his inheritance and he was going to leave the safety and the comfort of his father's home. He was going to get away from that. That was the choice that he made. That was the pathway that he was going to embark upon. A decision that he had the right to make. And so he took that inheritance and he went away into a far country. And the story tells us that he wasted his money there. He wasted his life there also on wasteful living and on harlots. And when all that he had was spent, even his friends abandoned him. They turned away from him. A stranger took him in, gave him the lowest of jobs that there was. And he found himself in such a situation that he even was willing to eat of the food that was given unto the animals. Here is an individual that truly learned that the way of the transgressor is hard. He learned it by experience. We have this in learning it by experience given unto us, hoping that we can learn it by instruction. Says concerning the prodigal son that he came to himself. He decided to return home. And all he was hoping for was that he would be counted even just among his father's servants and receive those kinds of wages. We read though the outcome of that story as the father received him back into the family just as a son. Here was an individual that learned the very hard way, difficult way, that the way of the transgressor is hard. We need to take heed to this lesson. Sin has its consequences. And when we choose that pathway of sin, we are choosing the consequences that go along with that. Righteousness, obedience to the will of God, is best for man in this life and in the life to come. The way of the transgressor, it is hard. And in closing here this morning, we want to go over some of those things that we see in our society today to learn that the way of the transgressor is something that is hard. We look about us and we see in our society all kinds of immorality. There is immorality of every shape and form and every shade you want to name. There is fornication, there is adultery and homosexuality. There's lewdness and lasciviousness. All of these things are a part of our society. They're accepted part of our society. People don't condemn these things too much anymore as we consider what people are doing. But this is sin in the sight of God. And this way of the transgressor and those that follow these transgressions, this is a way that is hard. Because of this immorality in our society today, we see that there are diseases that have come. There are diseases of the body. Some of these have been around for a long number of years. But because of immorality, we see people having to endure these diseases. Some of them even taking their life. This is the consequence of sin in our own day and age. Due to homosexuality, we have seen the disease of AIDS spread from person to person. We've seen people die because of it, because of this immorality. We see the consequences of sin. And truly, the way of the transgressor is hard. We see in this immorality concerning husband and wife that many times it has led to divorce. It has led to the breakup of the scripturally ordained home as God intended for the husband and wife to live together for a lifetime. Yet due to immorality, we see the breakup of the home. We see family relationships being strained as a result of sin and the sin of immorality. It leads to all kind of emotional problems within the family and even financial problems. There's emotional problems because there is guilt that must be borne through the years by those that are guilty of these sins. They linger for a lifetime, and people are scarred as a result of it. As a result of the sin of immorality, we find that there is distrust among those who are marriage partners, and it has an impact upon the children in the home who are caught in this situation. Truly, in our own society, can we see that the way of the transgressor is hard? Those that engage in the sin of immorality, in whatever form it might be, bring upon themselves the consequences of sin. Yet they don't just go to that individual alone. There's consequences that must be borne by a great many others as a result of it. To do what God said, to follow in the pathway of righteousness, to be obedient unto His will, can't we see that's best for man? Not in view just only of eternity, but in view of this life in which we live now, the physical life that God has given unto us. When it comes to drinking also, we're talking about alcoholic beverages here, drunkenness, and even social drinking that we find many of our own brethren thinking that there is nothing wrong with. We find that it has its consequences, that in this life to follow the will of God is far better for everybody involved. Because in this we see the addiction that has been brought about for those who become alcoholics, those who are addicted to this particular drug. We find that there is a loss of jobs, there's a loss of family, there's a loss of influence in the community. We find that some have become even dependent upon it, they have become addicted to it, and now they're looking for others to support them as a result of that. There is domestic violence. There's arguments. There are even death that comes about as a result of this sin. The way of the transgressor truly is hard. It is difficult, and it brings problems to everybody. In this drinking also, we see automobile accidents and deaths, and injuries. People begin to say, though, that won't ever happen to me. I won't ever be caught up in that kind of circumstances. But the sin is committed, and the circumstances follow. It won't ever happen to me. It happened to somebody, and each one of us is somebody. This is the result of sin. This is the consequences that follow. And can't we understand then that the way that God wants us to follow is far better for us than the way of the transgressor? It is hard on everyone. We look about us in the world in which we live, and there's a great deal of greed. People have a desire that they want to be rich. They want to have this world's possessions. And they'll do almost anything to gain those world's possessions. We are warned in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, but those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and snares. This is the result. Proverbs 15 and 27, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. He brings the problems upon himself. The consequences of this sin will touch him and also others. And in this greed, we find that there's lying and dishonesty. The result is oftentimes stealing. People begin to value things more than they begin to value people. The family problems and divorces and separations as a result of this. Again, can't we see that in following this pathway of the transgressor, that it's hard, it's difficult for everyone. But if we follow God's pathway, that of obedience, that in this life it is good, and especially in the one that is to come. There's laziness also, and we see this in our society today. People refusing to work, and this is a command that comes by God, that they refuse to do their fair share. We find that sometimes we run across a person who thinks that the world owes them a living. I knew an individual like that growing up. He was very smart, and he was told by his parents and by others that he was just brilliant until finally he got to the point of where he thought everybody owed him something, and he didn't work. We find those that refuse to work. This leads to poverty. This leads to dependence upon others. And once again, can't we see that God's way is the best? Can't we understand that obedience unto His will is best for man in the physical life? That the way of the transgressor is something that is hard. It's hard on everyone. Finally, we look at the sins of the tongue. Many can't control their tongue. They lie and they gossip and they backbite. And as a result of this, we find a great many tragedies in our own life and in the society in which we live. Again, can't we understand? Can't we see that the way that God has established for us is far better? That the pathway of righteousness, obedience unto His will, is physically the best for man. It makes the life that we have here in the flesh the best for us and for those that live around us. And that the way of the transgressor is hard, it's difficult, it brings problems to us. And it makes this life in which we are living now something that really is miserable. Truly, the message from Proverbs is this, that the way of the transgressor is hard. In Proverbs 22 and verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. This is what is in the way. This is what is in store for that individual who wants to follow iniquity. In some of Israel's most wicked days, God said to them through Hosea the prophet, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her path. Israel had reached a point where they were going, they had rejected God for so long that God was going to do this to them. He was going to hedge them in with thorns. Every way that they turned would cause them pain. This is the result of the sin that they had committed. The very best life that is available to any person is one of obedience to the will of God. Now, as we look at it, we might think, well, there's too many restraints placed upon us. But God blesses us in so many ways as we follow His will. Let us be grateful that the way of the transgressor is hard. Let us be thankful unto God that that is the way that it is. Because some that will not be reached by instruction will be turned to good by the consequences that sin brings to them. Again, this is the way that the prodigal son learned. He didn't learn by instruction. He learned by experience. But in learning by experience, he came to himself and he returned to his father. And this is what happens to some who decide that they're going to choose for themselves the path that they're going to walk. They realize the consequences that sin has brought upon them and they come to themselves. The wise will not have to experience this difficulty in the same way that some others will do. Person that is wise will learn by instruction. He will learn from the sufferings of others, and he will choose to avoid it on his own. Let us devote our lives, the times that we have now in the flesh, in service unto our God, and in following the pathway of righteousness. For it is better for us now, and it will prepare us for a home in heaven, when this life is over. This is best for man. God's commandments to man are not something that are burdensome. They're not grievous. They're not to be given. They're not given to us so that it'll make us miserable. They're given so that we can have a better life here. That we can spend our years in the flesh in a good life. One that is preparing us for heaven. Let us make that determination. Let us understand that. And let us follow the will of God. So that in doing, we will prepare ourselves for heaven. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, there's a song that has been selected that we're going to sing. And it's talking about the prodigal. It's talking about that individual that is wasteful. The one we're speaking of this morning. The one that learned his lesson and returned unto God. You have an opportunity to do that this morning. You have an opportunity to become a member of the family of God through obedience unto his will. It's something that is so very simple to understand. Individual has faith, they repent of their sins, confess their faith, and they're baptized for the remission of their sins, and they're added to the family of God where they enjoy all spiritual blessings. But perhaps as a child of God, you become prodigal. You become wasteful. And you need to return to your Lord. Here is an opportunity to do that. The song is going to be sung. We're going to sing. We're going to encourage you to do what is right. Won't you learn as we all strive to learn? The way of the transgressor is hard. But the way of obedience is best for all. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?